Hi, everybody. I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast, where we're all about political cartoons. Well, last week we did an episode about Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Putin Part 2, and we had a lot of fun doing it, and we went long, and we got actually a whole extra episode out of it, and that's what we're going to do today. Poor Taylor Jones got a little shorted on that episode. I'm going to start with a bunch of Taylor's cartoons and a few of the new Wagner versus Putin cartoons that came in after that, because we did that just before the Wagner Rebellion, so I thought I would throw in some of the newest Wagner cartoons so we get caught up on Putin. And then the rest of the episode, we're going to hear a more freewheeling conversation, which of course goes to artificial intelligence because, you know, that's what's on all the cartoonists' minds. Taylor Jones is great fun, and this is Taylor's Evgeny Prigozhin cartoon where he looks like a raccoon, and I think this is just hilarious. This is one that I did. You know, the Russian flag that has this two-headed eagle on it, I think is pretty crazy. I like this two-headed eagle, and of course, now that there is all of this obvious infighting, that two-headed eagle makes a whole lot more sense. This is one that I did with Prigozhin and Belarus President Alexander Lukashenko. And Lukashenko says, "Hey, Prigozhin, you and your Wagner army are welcome to stay in Belarus so long as you keep wearing that t-shirt." The Target t-shirt. Here's one by Patrick Chapat, our Swiss cartoonist, with no words, and Putin, who looks a little bit like Johnny Carson here, is holding his puppet strings over Prigozhin, who is not cooperating well, and Putin's getting all tangled up. And here's one from John Darko that really did very well with the editors. Putin in his Z tank with his backfiring tank having some trouble on him, and he says, "It's getting so you can't commit an act of aggression and not have it backfire." This is one from our Ukrainian cartoonist, Vladimir Kazanevsky, with balloons over the Kremlin, Prigozhin and Putin about to poke each other with needles. Here is Rick McKee from Florida drawing Putin, who's not looking like much of a strong man, and another backfiring tank by Rivers. Here's our cartoonist from Slovakia, Martin Sudovich, and Prigozhin and Putin fighting it out in the blood. We're going to go to the extra conversation that happened on our last episode, and we just get to be more freewheeling and chat. Maybe that's what this podcast should be going forward, just a lot more freewheeling chat. So I'm going to think about that, see if I can do a little less structure and have a little more fun. They're all fun. So, hey, thank you for coming. And here's our episode that ran long and was actually better than the part that didn't run long. So enjoy, and I will see you next week. We'll probably do the Supreme Court because that's so disturbing. We'll see what's disturbing next week. Thanks. So, Taylor, here you've got Putin, much like President Bush, reading the book to the kids as 9/11 happened. Here you've got Putin with "Good Night, Freedom, Good Night, Ukraine," reading a book to the school kids in Russia. That's a lovely drawing and a lovely metaphor.
Well, thank you. This was for the Hoover Institution. They are probably, best known for their Hoover Archive, where they're it's I guess the world's biggest archive outside of Russia for all kinds of Soviet memorabilia, writings, things from dissidents, all that stuff. They've got all that at the Hoover Institution. And of course, one of the Hoover fellows, I guess I'm not sure if he's still alive or very, very old, one of a famous American historian of Russia. And this was for an article either by him or about him. The thing is that, if you go back to that cartoon for a second, Daryl, that could be taken as almost, it's certainly not meant to be pro-Putin, but of course, what he's doing is part of the story was saying how, Russia is trying to, is very strongly indoctrinating its young children about the glorious adventure that is they don't call it a war. What do they call it in Ukraine? That the Russians, but you know, somebody could look at this and take it the wrong way, I would think, you know, and think that, it is almost in favor of Russia. And
I come.
Good.
Tiller, was this a reference to Gorilla as a parent of young children? That's the only thing that I thought right moon. Away. That classic book. That's a great book.
Thank you. Well,
I mean, but Good Night Ukraine with an explosion under it that makes you not really very enthusiastic for pudding.
So here's a wonderful cartoon with teenagery sullen Putin in his room with keep out signs on the door. And this has so much character and it's so much fun. You've got Boris and Natasha from Bullwinkle on a poster on the wall. It's hilarious.
Well, you know, of course, that's back in Putin's more svelte days. So he was kind of raw boned then. And, but thank you. You know, Putin has lent himself in so many ways in terms of caricature, to all of us. And, you know, it's, he's always fun to draw. I think he's gotten harder to caricature because he's kind of puffed out. It's a different look. And there are some cartoonists that really handle that really well, such as Ed Wexler. He's really got the puffy button down flat.
Yeah,
perfectly.
That's a wonderful cartoon. I enjoy that. I like the ones that have so much character. And here you're drawing that crazy church guy and the Pussy Riot people being crucified. And, you know, any crucifixion, this cartoon's not going to get printed. But it's a wonderful cartoon.
This is for the newspaper in Puerto Rico. And down there, what I had to be careful of was things that might seem critical of the Catholic Church. But otherwise, you know, whether it's fundamentalist Protestants or Russian Orthodox, they were quite, and frankly, you could be, you could be a little, edgier regarding Israel in a way would be as well. Yes, this is a religion and blood, Daryl, so I guess no go. And crucifixion.
Oh, you've got blood in there, too. Oh, no.
Double win.
The period. I mean, by the way, that was done in the first round of sanctions against Putin regarding Ukraine back in, 2014? But it turns out with all the problems, you know, it still works today because despite all the problems Russia's having and how they're doing so poorly in the war, apparently, from what I've read, the sanctions aren't having much of a dent. And in fact, there was a story in the New York Times today where both Boeing and Airbus in Europe, despite sanctions, are supplying all kinds of parts and what have you to their commercial airline industry. Sanctions generally don't seem to work for the no matter who you are. You know, they haven't brought Iran to its heel. It seems like in some ways a terrible waste of time. It's more done for it makes it look like we're doing something when perhaps we could be doing something more effectively.
I think giving the sanctions enough teeth for them to be effective is just so difficult and unpleasant that they don't do that.
Right. They make it really work, then they hurt us as well.
Here's another lovely cartoon from you, Taylor. You've got Putin the snake, and he's devouring and swallowing Ukraine, and he thinks, takes a while, but I always finish my supper.
Well, I've portrayed Putin as, I think, 8 or 9 different animals, and he just lends himself to that. I know that I forget whether it was, I think it was you, Yup, who had, Putin as the wolf in the China shop. And he just sort of lends himself to that kind of exaggeration.
He does. Wonderful cartoon.
Beautiful.
Really?
Here's another wonderful one. You've got, Leopard Putin, and he's coming up on all of the critters. Great. What are those critters?
Well, you got gnus, wildebeest or gnus.
Those are gnus. Wildebeest and gnus.
Same thing.
Labeled the Baltics, Donetsk, Ukraine, Belarus, Moldova. And the storybook says the leopard closely evaluates the herd of gnus, seeking to identify the weakest animal, one with an injury or perhaps a young calf. The leopard then tries to separate this gnu from the rest of the herd so it can go in for a quick kill. That's a lovely cartoon.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I watch a lot of nature programs.
I can see that. The way you draw the leopard with its shiny on his back.
Well, I appreciate just that. Great. It was fun. It was fun to do. Yeah.
Oh, it's great fun, this cartoon.
This is the third podcast I've been, Daryl's been nice enough to invite me in. And this was, an especially fun one. And okay. informative.
He asked me before, but I didn't dare. Asked me for the second time. I said, let's give it a try.
Very good.
You were kind enough to keep me going.
There are less topics I can use the international guys for, because you don't draw as many cartoons about the other topics we've been doing. But I would like to get you guys both on more, and we'll do more. Maybe we will do those Middle East ones.
I try to hear more from the circumstances you American cartoonists work in compared to what I'm used in Europe, but it didn't get off the ground, and maybe it's something to talk about later. I mean, those were great things to talk about when we were in France with everybody and on the train and being there, and we had really nice discussions about it.
Well, I can't remember whether it was Jost or you mentioning that you talked about meeting with, I guess it was you, Jost, talking about a dinner with your editors and the
cartoonists.
But were these all cartoonists for one paper, or are these a bunch of cartoonists?
Every paper in Holland has one or two or sometimes three cartoonists. They take pride in having these guys, and they also take pride in letting these guys draw what they want to draw, because that makes the voice personal.
Yeah.
And as you read columns, you like a columnist who has his personal voice and his personal, things to say. And that's what it is my experience, you know. I mean, Joop has different experiences, but I worked for this paper for 40 years now. And they have a tradition. My predecessor worked for 50 years at this paper. And sometimes we really have discussions with the chief editor. And, well, not really, but sometimes it looks like a fight. And then I know he can sack me whenever he wants to. But usually it goes in the open, and also in the paper is written about it. So I get the support of many readers. And they write letters, and those letters are published also in the paper. So it's more like a big community, and that is also the strength of the paper.
Well, you know,
and I think also in Europe, cartoonists are much more appreciated and much more honored as well than in the United States.
During the years I was never an employee of the newspaper in Puerto Rico, but I did work for them on a freelance basis a lot for 30 years, including the time for about 10 years where I was doing three cartoons a week for them. But all that time they already had a cartoonist, and they would use other cartoons, just this other cartoonist's work as well. Now, I don't mean syndicated stuff, just someone would come in. We'll use this cartoon. I think in Latin America too. Of course, Latin American newspapers are having the same problems that American newspapers are. And in fact, I was canned for that reason, because they just didn't have the funding anymore. But thing is, something that isn't done in the U.S. For the most part is that they would have cartoons throughout the newspaper. They would, cartoons and caricatures, not just confined. And of course, often on the front page. Now, I guess in New York, the New York Observer would did that, but that's not been an American thing since. Oh my goodness, you would know the cartoonist long gone from the Des Moines Register, whose cartoons appeared on the front page, or did his successor, Daryl?
Brian Duffy.
Duffy, is this appearing on the front page? Because that was tradition in the Des Moines Register in Iowa. But that's something that, generally editorial cartoons have been confined to the editorial page and then syndicated work to the op-ed page. But in Latin America, there's a lot more. And is that true? Is that true in Holland and elsewhere in Europe too, where you might see it all, you know, cartoons all over the
news? No, it's not that. No, it's not that cover. Not everywhere in the paper. Mm-hmm. It's usually confined to the op-ed page. Okay. But I did 3 a week, and my colleague did also 3 a week. So we did it together, and we had our own voice, and most of the papers, most of the national papers, anyway, in the Netherlands have this situation, and most of them are very careful with their cartoonists, and they are really appreciated, and also by the readers, because they tell us we are part of the face of our papers. That's what they literally tell us. Mm. So they don't want to lose us and maybe we draw a bit along the lines of the paper. I think it is. That's why we work there for so long. But they leave us. And also, if there's discussion about a cartoon, who cares? It's an opinion page. It's an op-ed page. So there is supposed to be discussion.
Right. Let me tell a little experience I had in this respect.
You tell us your experience, I'm going to bring back one of your cartoons that got skipped by accident. And this is a wonderful cartoon.
Really?
When they put the price cap on Putin's oil. And I guess this is kind of an optimistic cartoon, thinking that price cap would make more of a difference than it seems to have made. But I just thought this cartoon was great. Keep the lid firmly closed. That's fun.
That's right. Yeah.
But so you were saying.
Yes, it was the experience because I was sacked some time ago by had parole by the editor, and she had to take me back because the readers didn't want it this way, and they wanted me back in the paper. But I left in the end. I left because that's no way of working together. But I still really worked there for a year, and then I could look for another job, and I found one in Benelux, Amsterdam, for instance. Several times it occurs that a cartoon is used on the front page when it's a special issue or a special occasion, because there are no photos there, they can use it. They did. So it is possible to get on the front page.
But Daryl, it's hard at the moment for you and for American cartoonists, because a lot of the cartoonists are being sacked and have no possibilities anymore to go anywhere. And that's because of the different opinions in America that's gone too wide out of each other.
Well, we had the experience last year of the biggest American newspaper chain, Gannett, deciding to drop editorial cartoons entirely in what was then about 400 papers out of about 1,300 daily papers overall in America. So it was a very large percentage of the papers, and it hit our syndicate very hard. A lot of great papers that have been subscribing to us for 20 years just suddenly stopped printing editorial cartoons entirely Gannett wanted to get away from having the left versus right stuff, the donkeys and the elephants. Yeah. They didn't want the friction between the left and the right, which is what they said was the reason they did this. And they wanted the papers to have more of a local focus that didn't lend itself to left and right. And that's very frustrating. Some of the Gannett papers stayed with us. Gannett papers in California and Florida, which is wonderful. And we love those papers, and they're very committed to editorial cartoons. But, you know, the hundreds of Gannett papers left. And that's a great frustration for us. And we're seeing that in other papers for other reasons than Gannett. A lot of papers are consolidating. And you find that there'll be one paper in a little regional group that is the editorial staff of maybe two people for maybe six papers in the area. And those other six papers may have little or no staff, maybe one reporter or two reporters, and the papers put together in another place. That's very very frustrating. There are some papers that are like ghost papers that exist with no employees. And they're entirely put together by another paper in the region.
Well, I guess AI will be taking care of that before too long. I was thinking the other day,
we had our second AI cartoon. Yes, that was submitted to us by Yos. I could dig that up if you want to see it.
Yeah, I'd love to
get that. I was thinking of doing a little extra, you know, like on the Bill Maher show. They've got this extra because they sit and talk some more. And I think I'll do that with this one. We'll do something extra.
That would be nice.
Okay, so here is Yos's iCartoon. I think this is hilarious, and I have no idea what you've written about in here. We had one AI cartoon that we syndicated, and I'd love to syndicate this one too. I think it's hilarious, depending on what you wrote in it. And sometime there's going to be somebody who can't draw, who isn't a cartoonist, but who's a good writer and can get the AI to do stuff that goes with good writing. And then we're going to have a tough decision to make, which is, do we want to do that? Until now, that has never happened. But it could.
On the upper left side, you see in the big letters, it says, after Russia, now Iran, too, is chairman of the UN Human Rights Council. That is what it says on the left. And then on the right, it says, I asked mid-journey. I asked mid-journey, generate for me a big red cat with a Russian fur hat on, and next to it, a black cat, Iranian cat with round glasses and a white beard. Furthermore, 10 frightened white mice, all seated at a conference table with a UN logo on the wall. I thought that will be the cartoon. So I gave the submission, and I got this back. So when I got this back, I looked at it and I thought, well, this isn't exactly what I meant. In fact, it's not at all what I meant as a drawing. It wouldn't work. So I put the conclusion under there with a portrait of myself. And I concluded, for the time being, I'll do it myself.
That's great. That's great.
I think it's very funny.
You know, I'm curious.
Yeah,
now the cats, were they, I mean, in I know that AI and these art programs, they can, you know, you can just, call up whatever things you want and you get these. Were these different cats, were they sort of generated or were they lifted by the AI program to come out like that?
I think they were lifted in a global search. Mm-hmm. And for cats, it's easy because there are so many cats on the internet. Yeah. They were lifted in a global search and the hats were put on by Midjourney. And by the bot and the position also. But in the end, it was not anything that I could use for my cartoon. My time was up, so I had no time to make another cartoon. So I put this one in the paper with the self-portrait under it.
I think it's funny. And I should say, you know, I talk a lot about cartoons we can't draw because editors don't want that stuff. But I don't talk that much about what editors really do want. And one thing that they seem to want in practice rather than what they say, but what they in practice show that they want is cats and dogs. You put cats and dogs in cartoons, editors just love it, especially cats. I had an idea one time that, you know, maybe one of these cartoonists that's writing to us and wants to be syndicated, he's not quite good enough. If he would draw just cats in all of his cartoons, he would be our most popular cartoonist. Every cartoon just depicts everyone as a cat. I have suggested that to a couple of guys, and they, I don't want to. I thought it would be funny. It's crazy to look at the statistics and see when it's cats. It's
But the problem is a bit, we have become political cartoonists. We want to say something with our cartoons, and we want to stand, and we want to have a standpoint and have a lot of humor to express that standpoint. I think that's what we are trying to do.
Well, do you think that? Do you think that a cartoonist could decide to say all of the things he wants to say, but with the constraint that he has to use cats to say it?
Well, there are.
Well, I could. Daryl, you want me to just drop by?
I remember an Australian cartoonist who used only animals, and he expressed the real situation that was, in his opinion, over there in Australia.
Well,
and he was hugely popular. It's about 50 years ago. I don't know his name anymore, but I saw an album by him, and it was very good quality.
Well, you know, Taylor does all these wonderful bird cartoons, and I was suggesting to him that if he just did bird cartoons, like suggesting
tempted,
the cats.
I'm tempted, Daryl. You know, I'll tell you, that cat in the middle there with the Iranian cat, wherever that image came from, on a t-shirt, that would sell a ton of t-shirts, you know? Just that one cat there, that stern-looking imam cat.
Yeah, but the other one with the orange firefighter's helmet or something on the right, you know. And his looks are marvelous as well.
Yeah, that's a good
cartoon. Taylor,
it was fun to do.
Taylor, are you going to go with the birds?
I'm going to do more. Yeah, I've got bird. I got a whole bunch of ideas. It won't all be birds. You know, primates are pretty good too. But I'll be doing more bird stuff.
That's great.
And McNally had his birds.
Well, of course, Olivan had his little penguin.
But McNally had a daily strip.
Yes. Shoe.
Shoe, it was called. Yes, that's right.
That's right.
So maybe it's time for you, Taylor. Maybe it's time to pick up something new and be the most important cartoonist in the United States.
You know, to be serious about it, with that is that, you know, I don't do as much day to day political things for Kegel, and especially since I'm not with El Nuevo Dia anymore. And the things I do for Hoover Digest, the only problem is that stuff is done way in advance. Now, some of those illustrations, cartoons, they have a pretty long shelf life. But there's others that I know that I can't do this now, or maybe something 5 years from now, I can use this again.
Yeah.
The thing about I've done a bunch of nature cartoons for Daryl, mostly centering on birds, but not all of them. But doing it on birds allows me to kind of do it anytime, anywhere, you know, and where I don't have to be, because what I find myself is I'm not as quick on the draw anymore when it comes to a lot of day-to-day political commentary, and because the news cycle is so fast and continuous that the stuff becomes old hat, you know? So I think I should do this, Daryl.
very good.
It's
I'm looking forward
and
to
and
it.
And over the years, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, the old animals.
Well, I'm only 35 miles from Disney World, so.
I don't know any editorial cartoonist who's ever done it entirely with animals or particular characters like that.
Well, there are so many topics that last forever. I mean, the actuality, what happens, is one, but there are also things between left and right, or about religion, or you don't want religion. Sorry, but about a lot of things that last forever.
Well, you know, American cartoonists have this trope of the old couple watching the TV, and they can comment on anything in the news, and you don't really have to draw it because it's on TV, and you know they're commenting on it. And I do a lot of those with, you know, a little to my shame, because they're so easy, and I actually draw it with the back of the TV because then I don't have to draw what's on the TV, and that makes it even lazier. But you know, all of those could be birds talking to each other. Yeah. They don't have to have the TV. They just talk about that. They could be birds watching TV.
In case, since Yolis and Yop haven't seen any of these are pretty realistic. I mean, they're meant to be funny, but you know, I've long time interested in you know, all kinds of things in nature. And so I enjoy drawing them well. I have a better feel for birds for whatever reason. You know, I spend a lot of time. I've got this extensive butterfly garden, but insects are hard to draw for me. I'm not very mechanically inclined. And my feeling is that someone who can draw, if you can draw like a racing motorcycle really well, I mean, really, really well, you can draw insects well. I have trouble with a lot of machinery, and that makes insects, birds, it's just something I don't know. I have a better feel for them, birds and primates, than a lot of other animals.
Yeah, there are a lot of English guys who draw birds fantastically, yeah, and very fast. I admire that, because that's not my style either. Thank you, Daryl, for everything.
Gentlemen, it was very nice having you. And we'll have an extra episode of us just chatting, and that will be charming.
Well, I certainly enjoyed it. And again, thank you for including me, and great to meet you, Jos and Jop.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us for our extra chat after our Putin Part 2 podcast. And remember to subscribe to Kegelcast wherever you go. Subscribe. And thank you for being here. And we will see you next time. See you later, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
See you later.